Well, hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Events with Benefits, a podcast designed to help nonprofit organizations like yours raise more money, get your stress levels down, and achieve greater success at your fundraising events. Now, my name is Danny Hooper. I'm the host of the show here, along with my co-hosts, Ian Loth from Winspire and Renee Zhao from Donation Match. I'm a professional auctioneer, so I just love this podcast, and we are all learning so much from our guests, and no exception today. We have a fabulous guest with us. His name is Jeff Chang, and his company is called Cause for Auction. We're going to find out how Jeff and his partner Howie, they're both engineers, have created a platform that is helping out the little guy. Can you say little guy? Is that politically correct, little guy?
Sure.
The smaller organizations, the school groups, church groups, the sport teams that need to do fundraising, but they haven't got the resources and they haven't got the capacity to do the huge galas. So these guys have created a platform that's really helping the smaller organizations make a lot of extra money.
Yeah, you know, and I thought it was really important to get these guys on to talk about their product. And, you know, we like having on guests from companies that are trying to help the nonprofit space. And we invited him on to come talk about what he has developed with his partner, Howie, just because it really brings to light some of the challenges associated with incorporating mobile bidding technology into your event. So they've really tackled a lot of those challenges with their platform. So we kind of talk about why they created it in the first place and how they got to where they are today. And at the end of the day, it's a great thing that you guys should all check out.
Yeah, and I like their attitude of keeping it simple. And really, the way that they built their platform was through personal experience and starting from the bottom up, as opposed to starting with something huge and making it overly complicated, expensive. And, you know, I actually am personally using their platform right now with my son's school. I've used other platforms, and I think it does provide my son's school with exactly what it needs without too many other features that just make it too confusing for the next person to take over.
All right. How come we're not getting a commission or a kicker for introducing our listeners to all of these different platforms and products? Well, we're doing it. Our mission here is to introduce you to these good products and tools that are out there to make your job a little easier. So right now, let's go meet a guy who's a dad with kids in school, and his buddy Howie, who's also a dad with school-age kids, and see how they were motivated to create a product that solves a very elementary problem. All right, Jeff Chang, it's great to have you on the show with us here today. I understand that you're a bit of a moving target today, and in fact, you're out on the road, but you tell us you've pulled over in order to do this interview, and that's a good thing. We applaud you for that, but you're telling us also that you pulled over right next to an airport. So in the event that during today's podcast you hear some crazy noise, it's not an Air Force base, is it?
It is not. It's hopefully it's not too bad. I haven't seen too many airplanes flying through, so we'll see how it turns out.
All right. Well, tell us a little bit about your business, Cause for Auction. Great name. You've got a fabulous website, and probably a great place to start with this story is at the very beginning, and it's the story you open with on your website, A Tale of Two Dads. Maybe you can share that with us.
Yeah, exactly. So my partner, Howie Merrill, unfortunately, he couldn't be here, he's got some kids that are a little bit older than my kids. And we were just getting into the elementary school space, and for those people who have kids in elementary school, you know, you understand that there's these fundraising events that people go to help raise some money for the kids. And so the principal actually knew that Howie was an engineer, and he decided, hey, he just started striking up a conversation at some event, and he mentioned to Howie, hey, you know, how hard would it be to help out with the auctions at our schools? You know, one thing that we would love to be able to do is just to get text messages when people are outbid. And so Howie thought about it, and he's like, yeah, you know, might be a little fun project. And so he decided to go to the first event, and he invited me to come along. And so we were both there, and that was where we realized, you know, they used the traditional paper bid sheets, a very traditional kind of dinner and setup. And one of the things we first realized was, you know, everyone came in and they saw the auction items. They went and they were excited and they started bidding. And then everyone went to go sit down at their dinner table, right? And then you've got these, you know, hour, 2 hours where people are just kind of sitting there and no one was going back to the bidding table to really participate. And so that was the first thing we sort of observed. The second thing, at the end of the night, we reserved these huge checkout lines. It actually took us an hour and a half to get out of there. And people were, upset, and it was not, and we asked the organizers, and turns out this is kind of the thing they do every year. And they said an hour and a half was great. And so, after the dinner, Howie and I talked, and we said, there's a lot of opportunity here to improve this. And he said, let's see what you can do. So, Howie spent, that was in the fall, and in the spring there was another dinner auction. And so he put together something. And that was sort of iteration one of our software. And we got some, it ended up being a pretty successful event because of that. And so we started with that, and Howie just kept at it. He's the kind of guy that loves to just keep building things. He kept at it. And a few months later, we reconnected, and I looked at what he's built, and I was like, this has come a long way. We should see if other schools would be interested in using this. And that's sort of where we started Cause for Auction. And we've been primarily focused in San Diego, but, we've been lucky. We've just been spread by word of mouth. We've done very little marketing, and we've become pretty successful. So I'm very, very proud of what we've done. And hopefully I'll be able to add some stuff here to your listeners to some of the things we've learned over the years.
All right. So just to clarify then, the Cause for Auction is a mobile, it's a mobile bidding platform. There are already lots of mobile bidding platforms out there in the marketplace. And how do you folks differentiate yourselves from some of the other players?
That's a great question. So that was the one thing when we started this, I asked Howie, there's other people out here. Why aren't organizations using these other people in the bidding space? And what I was surprised is when we first started selling the service, when we introduced it to people, you got two camps. One camp was, yes, I've heard of this, and tell me about what you guys can do. But there was a surprising large camp of people that never even heard of mobile bidding. And so to me, that was saying that, look, I think there's an opportunity here that people just don't know about this, and that means there's room to grow, right? As far as how we try to approach things compared to, say, some of the other services out there, we are very much focused on being as simple and easy to use as possible. I think there are some great full-featured services out there that do a great job. And they are very much focused at the big, galas that you typically see at kind of corporate, nonprofit type galas. But I think what happens then is they become very expensive and overly complex for the majority of the users that I think are sort of left behind. And so that was sort of how we've kind of envisioned building our company, is around the idea of making it simple, making it affordable, and really targeting the volunteer parents that are, doing something for the school. To be honest, it's a lot of work. People don't realize how much work it is unless you've been in it. And, we're just here to try to give them the tools that they need to succeed.
All right, let's talk about how simple is it and how does it actually work?
So all we really focus on is, instead of using a paper bid sheet, what our premise is, nowadays everyone's got a smartphone. And so why not leverage that at the local level, right? And so all you do as an organizer is you come in, you can create an auction, you would then add items to the auction like you would for any kind of event that you normally do. And in there, you'd be able to put some pictures, a description, starting bids, bid increments, your typical thing. Think of it like a localized eBay, right? And once you create these items, then what you can do is you can generate these item cards automatically, and you can use that next to the baskets that you would have at your event. And this item card actually is a great way to showcase, the details of the basket or the item. But it actually has a little code on there that bidders, when they come by, they could scan it and it jumps right to that item, and they can see what the current bids are at. They can place a bid, and most importantly, when they get outbid, they get a notification that they can just simply send another bid in. And so it's really about giving the most opportunity for bidders to basically stay on top of all their bids. And this way, you know, they participate more.
And certainly this addresses one of the earlier problems you mentioned, where the guests start the evening perhaps participating in the silent auction, then they're called to the dinner tables, and for a lot of them, that's it. Once they're seated, they don't want to be jumping up and down again throughout dinner and going to check on their bids. So I would imagine you've noticed a marked difference in the level of engagement with your guests and the silent auction items?
Absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. And that's one of the big selling points, right, is now they're not tied to coming back to the bidder table to continue to bid, to check to see if they're the highest bidder. Now you can enjoy dinner, and in some places, well, you know, we'll talk about later, is, you know, you can do things where you have events that are sort of all over the place, or like a carnival of some sort. And now people can still participate and not have to keep coming back, and you'll see a lot of engagement. And in addition to that, you know, since it's online, now you can extend the time for the auction to be, you know, typically a week long, which further increases the chances to get bids, as opposed to just the couple hours that you would typically see at a dinner.
Okay, now I'm assuming you would want to extend that time prior to the event. Is that right? You're not talking about extending it a week after. People want to know that evening if they're able to take that basket home.
Exactly, yeah.
Good. Just wanted to clarify another point, Jeff. When they're inputting the data or the information on these silent auction items, they're doing that on a computer. Is that right? They're probably doing that on a laptop. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yes. So setting it up is...
So you're not having to input on your smartphone. You're actually doing that on the computer.
Well, you can actually do it on both. And I got a quick story. So yes, generally you would set up beforehand on a computer. It's the easiest, you know, with a keyboard. But we had an event where, as part of the decor, one of the volunteers created this beautiful tapestry, and people kept commenting it at the event. And so on the fly, what they decided was, you know, people might actually bid on this. And so they actually just snapped a couple pictures with their phone using our platform, and they actually just added the item on the fly right there. And they were able to raise, I think, you know, $600 or $700 just from this one tapestry. So it's one of the examples of being able to take the new technology and using it to your advantage.
And how are you fellows measuring your impact out there in the marketplace and measuring your success? Do you have any data or stats that you can share with us as to how this product is performing, the platform is performing?
Yeah, I think the best indication of, I think, happy customers, what I like to measure us on is basically rebookings, right? And so... you know, I think we've been very lucky. We get spread by word of mouth. And, you know, right now we have like a 92% rebooking rate, which is great. And so people continue. And to be honest, I've been surprised. A lot of the people who, once they use us, they become huge advocates, and they're actively trying to get their friends to use our system. And so we're very appreciative of our users. And it's been a great interacting with them.
What is the capacity of your platform? What size of an event? Where do you start to max out?
Yeah, so, you know, a little more detail as far as our background. You know, Howie and I are both engineers. We've worked together for over 10 years, and we have a lot of experience building sort of enterprise level complex systems. And so Howie specifically built the system to be able to scale up really to a large size. And so, you know, we've done events. The largest event I think we've done, we raised, I think, $110,000 in one night. And there were, 500-600 transactions. I mean, the system ran beautifully. It didn't even break a sweat. So, you know, knock on wood, we haven't had any issues with scale yet, and we've purposely built it that way. So sky's the limit for us.
Great. We want to talk for a second about the importance and value of word-of-mouth advertising, word-of-mouth marketing. Obviously, you're seeing the benefits of that. And we can't impress upon our listeners enough how important that first impression is and the last impression. You can have a great first impression as your guests arrive at your event. Everything can go great throughout the evening, but you alluded earlier to that hour and a half lineup at the end of the night, and that can spoil it all. Now you've got a frustrated guest, a frustrated customer, and perhaps a customer that's not going to be back next year for that very reason. So let's talk about your cash out process on the end. How is that working?
Sure, absolutely. So the way our system works is one of the things, again, leveraging the fact that, you know, most people nowadays have a smartphone, is we wanted to basically give a way for bidders to self-checkout, right? And so the way the system works is once the auction's over, notices go out to the winners, and they can review the things that they've won, and there's a simple button that says pay now, and they simply pay for it on their phone just like they would on Amazon, enter their own credit card, and the transaction's done. And once the transaction's done, they get emailed a receipt that has the itemized list of things they've won, has all the tax information needed that you could give to your accountant, and then once it's paid for at the end of the night, you just go to the admin, say, you know, I'm bidder 7, and they would verify that you've paid, and they'd have your stuff ready to go, and it simplifies the process tremendously.
How much time have you been able to shave off that cash out at the end of the night, say from the hour and a half, worst case scenario?
So, you know, there have been many cases where it took hour and a half, 2 hours, and we cut it down to like 25 minutes, right? And so that's something that is huge. And in addition to that, if you think about it, that's more time that you can actually budget for keeping the auction open, right? And so these are things I like to say is make it as easy as possible for bidders to bid, and also increase the opportunities to bid as much as you can.
Do you have built into the platform alerts that notify the guests when a particular silent auction section is about to close?
We do. So you have a way to create sections, and you can close the sections as needed. And a lot of people enjoyed that feature. You know, one of the things, and we'll get into that a little later, but one of the things we've seen is that, you know, really now with mobile bidding, you know, you no longer really necessarily need to close out sections if you don't want to. Again, you can really save the time on, you know, where you're saving in logistics, you can really gain in keeping the window of bidding open really as long as you can, almost to the end of the night. And so one of the things where we talk to our users and they have questions about, can we close out sections? I think that can be a useful tool if used correctly, is to create some demand and some sense of urgency. But we've also seen a lot of success where people can simply just, you know, close it all out at the same time at the end of the night, and you can still get a lot of bids on a lot of items.
Very good. And pricing of the product, is that something you can discuss, or where could people get information on that?
You know, I think the best way to go is to come to our website, cause4auction.com, and we have all our pricing information there.
All right. What are some of the biggest challenges you faced out there in terms of people adopting this technology?
Sure. So I think in general, I think there's, you know, like I said, there's other mobile bidding auction platforms out there. We're just one of them. And so, you know, I'll talk in generalities. I think the things that I've seen, what I'll call first time users of these types of technologies, and these are things I think hopefully will help your listeners. So number one, organizers a lot of times won't cut ties to paper bid sheets. And so this is one of the things that some of our fellow auction software platforms out there, they offer this way to be able to do both this paper bid sheets and the online. And, you know, what we found is that really doesn't work well. You end up actually doing double the work, and you're really not taking advantage of being able to do everything from an online platform. And so one piece of advice I would give is if you're going down that road and you see a service that is providing that, I would actually stay away from that. I really recommend you either choose one or the other. And I get it. It's scary to do change. And so that's one of the things when I'm talking to people is really trying to show them the benefits of going to a mobile bidding auction platform, away from the paper bid sheets. Right. And so, and we've already addressed some of those things, but the other thing that I've also heard is why they don't want to necessarily get away from the, you know, only doing online is, I've heard people say, well, if we only do online, then no one's going to come to the event. Everyone's just going to bid online, right? And so another thing you might look at is make sure the service that you're using offers a way to basically hide items so that items can only be shown if you're at the event. And so, for example, Cause for Auction, we have a way for you to do that. And that way you have a set of items that you can sort of, but they're only going to be at the physical event. And that way you can make sure there's still people that would like to come.
All right. Sounds real interesting. We should probably touch on, we talked about the cash out at the end of the night and shortening those long lineups. What about registering guests at the front end of the evening?
Great, great. So that's another thing that I've seen where I think people can have some room for improvement. You know, it makes sense that you want people to come in and get them checked in, ready for their auction and whatnot. But, you know, with these types of services, really, there's a few things that you should make sure you do. One, definitely try to promote the online ticketing or online registration beforehand, right? And do your best to get people to use it. I've had one school where they had the volunteer parents actually had a computer, or actually it was a tablet, and they just stood outside the school, and when parents dropped their kids off and on the way out, they would just actually just register them there, right there on the spot. And so using software that is actually mobile friendly like ours, it makes it really easy to do these types of things. The other thing that I think is important is, you know, if you're doing a check-in at an event, again, take advantage of the fact that you have mobile devices, and you know, you can either while they're in line or as they're kind of at a cocktail, you can do a lot of the registration sort of at the same time of the people enjoying the event, right? You no longer need to have these people kind of funneled in through one spot, and where that's where typically you'd see these long lines. And the third thing that you would consider is, you know, make sure the software that you use may support something where you actually don't need to register them ahead of time. And so one thing that we offer is that we have a way for bidders to basically self-register. And the way that works is, you know, they come into an event and they see something they want to bid on. The first time they make a bid, we collect all the necessary information right there, and they automatically get assigned a bidder number. And so there's, again, no need to get in line and register with an event organizer of some sort. And those are things that take away from the enjoyment of the event.
So did I understand correctly, somebody can come in that has a smartphone, a mobile device, and they don't have to register themselves until they make that first bid on an item? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, that was our first premise. And it was actually hard to sell that idea because people are so ingrained with the idea of having to register ahead of time. It took a lot of effort to do that. And so we actually ended up adding the ability to register ahead of time just to make sure, you know, to make people happy. But we always try to convince people that, hey, you know, for certain events, not having to register is okay. In fact, that makes it easier for people to just walk in and start enjoying the event.
Mm-hmm. I've seen some events of late where, in order to get people to register, registering at the beginning of the evening, self-registering or allowing themselves to be registered by the hosts, they qualify for a door prize giveaway, and they've seen huge spikes in the amount of participation that way.
That's a great idea. Yeah, I think that's a wonderful idea.
You bet. Well, this is the point in the podcast, and it happens sometimes, where the hosts just run out of questions. And there's three of us here, and my two co-hosts have hardly asked a single thing, and they're both sitting here like they have heard it all from you already. It's excellent information, but what else might you like to be able to share with us here, Jeff?
Well, I can, I have more on this list. Let me get through this list to see, and maybe that can help here. I think number three on my list is the idea that a lot of times the first time organizer will close the silent auction too early. So we talked about this before, but you know, just to get it complete, you know, it traditionally it was because, you know, you have to go around and collect the bid sheets, and there's a lot of logistics and manual things you had to go do to prepare to close the end of the night. You know, you don't need to do that now with the any of the auction software out there. And so I think it's important to try to, like I said, keep the window of bidding open as long as possible. And, you know, there are two schools of thoughts here. I think that one, you can end your silent auction before your live auction, right? And I think that works well. And the other way is to do the other way around, is to basically end the night with a silent auction. I will tell you my personal preference is actually to end with a silent auction, and I'll tell you why. What I've seen is that you want to have some time right after the live auction is done for the organizers to be able to keep track of who has won the live auction items. And if you have some time between the end of the live auction item and the end of the event, there's still time for the MC to basically say, hey, there's still items that haven't been bid on. There's opportunities to try to get some more bids out of the audience. And this gives also an opportunity for the organizers to basically add the live auction item winners into the system. And so what that then buys you is the end of the night, once the auction's over, everything goes out. It's a real painless, easy way to do the bidders to do their own self-checkout, and they can continue on. So I think there's pros and cons to when you want to end it, but the key here is try to keep the auctions open as long as possible, and I think you can't lose that way.
That's great, Jeff. I think you've made some really good points there about ways to leverage the platform. This is Ian Loth, by the way. I'm personally interested in hearing your thoughts on how to use something like, because mobile bidding or bidding technology, one of the advantages of getting all your auction items onto a digital platform is that you can then link to it, right? You can then use it to actually market your auction items to your audience prior to the event, whether it's on social media or email. But I'd be interested to hear what sort of success stories you've seen out there, specifically with regard to marketing auction items prior to an event.
Great. That's a great question. In fact, that leads perfectly to number four here. Hold on one second. Hey, you guys, can you still hear me? Okay, sorry. Let me start over. I thought I just lost you for a second. So that's a great segue into the fourth item on our list, which is, a lot of times I think people who are running these events for the first time aren't really utilizing sort of the online marketing. And so one thing that we've seen work really well, obviously, the first thing is, make sure you're blasting reminders through all your marketing channels. The ones we've seen that haven't really been that successful are the ones that, they have that one weekly newsletter and they'll have one email blast and that's it, right? And so, that is not enough engagement. And, in this day and age, people will see stuff in their inbox and they may or may not read it. And so you sort of have to bombard them a little bit from all channels. And so definitely hit email, Facebook, Instagram, whatever social media platforms the parents are on, that's very important. One story that I've heard that really worked well is you can also slowly introduce new items throughout the week and use that as a promotional item. And so we had one school, they had quite a few number of items, but they bucketed the items into sort of the beginning of the week, middle of the week, and right before the event. And the way they did it was, the beginning of the week, they had, the first bucket of items go out, and they had people start bidding on them. And then in the middle of the week, they had another list that they basically published out, and they sent a whole marketing campaign around that. It says, hey, we've got some new items. Here are a few of them. Click here to see what else we've added, right? And that sort of kind of slow rolling the items in the auction throughout the week actually worked out really well. I actually went real closely into the analytics on that one, and I was checking to see when people were bidding and how many bids they got, and they did a really good job. That particular case happened to be a 10-day auction. They were very good at getting very consistent bids, and you could see these spikes as to when these marketing blasts went out, and you can see spikes in activity. But I think had they not done that, you would have seen a big kind of bunch of bids in the beginning of the week, and then it would have just sort of died and just been flat throughout the week. So I think that's one thing I think people should leverage, is be consistent with the marketing. You can use the idea of sort of publishing in waves, and that I think that works really, really well. And then the other thing I would add is using the, like you said, the digital type pages for the live auction items, you can use that as advertisement. You send that out on, again, all the channels, talk about them, you know, maybe even talk, a lot of times we get donations for some vacation home or whatnot. You know, spend the time to talk about it, and you can really highlight these individual live auction items to build out some buzz so that people are excited and ready to go when they come to the event.
Have you seen, as far as, you know, auction items that you start promoting before, are there certain items that you've seen, you know, perform better opening it up before the auction, and maybe ones where you don't open up the bidding and you wait until the event, maybe like more expensive? Is there kind of a price point that works well as far as auction items that, you know, you open up the bidding before the event versus at the event?
Yeah, I think it's hard to come up with a general rule of thumb. You know, I think organizers really should try to get a feel for the audience that they're about to, you know, throw the event for. But generally speaking, I think the things that have, say, a higher price point will probably do better at the event, because they get to, I think when you're at the event, it's a little more festive. I think they actually see things and you get that competitive bidding going. And I think you get a little more opportunity for people to kind of commit to that, these type of things. But it's really hard to say. I've seen them work both ways, right? And so, yeah, I'm not a particularly great answer, but
no, it's all good. Do you usually have the pre-bidding? Do you usually have the pre-bidding, you know, roll into the event, or do you close the bidding on certain items prior to the event? What do you recommend as best practices?
I usually recommend rolling it entirely out into the entire event, ending all at the same time. And the reason why I say that again is, you want to make things as clear as possible. And so when you have these sort of deadlines, I think it just adds to some confusion, potential confusion for the bidders, right? And so one way you can try to get some, you know, if someone really wants the item, you should be able to set like a buy it now price. And if someone really, really wants the item and lock it in, you know, they'll commit to those types of prices. Now, with that said, there are ways to do these sort of waived checkouts, which we can do. But, you know, from my experience, I think people do better when you just leave everything open and just kind of culminates at the end of the event. Because, you know, at the event, especially if you have a good auctioneer or MC, they can really make things exciting and really get that energy going. When you have that energy, you know, and, you know, maybe you have some alcohol and people are having a good time, people will bid, and it'll happen.
All right. Have a question here. We have a number of listeners of our podcast. It's fun for us. We watch our analytics, and we've got people listening from as far away as Spain. We have a bunch of people up in Canada, people down in Tobago, wherever that is. Ian from Windspire here will tell me, where is Tobago?
I have no idea.
All right. Well, we know we've got Windspire packages to Tobago one way. But anyway, so we've got people listening from all over. Does this work for people outside of the United States? Suppose people up in Canada want to use this product.
Absolutely. Yeah. We've built this to be, you know, ultimately basically be self-service, right? We're building this as simple to use as possible. I mean, at its core, it's just a website that you can basically create an auction, and people will be able to bid and get text messages on their phones, right? And so, you know, we use a service that does support international texting, and so everything will run, and we should be able to use all our features. And if there's any issues, give me a call. We'll take care of it.
All right, sounds good. Well, this has been fabulous. I think what most impressed me here, Jeff, is that we have a platform here that's available to the little guy. Maybe the smaller groups, our church groups, our sport teams and the school groups. Sometimes a lot of these other platforms and tools that are available are geared for the large galas. But I'm very, very impressed, as I think Renee and Ian are here today, with the fact that you two engineers have created a product that is available to the smaller organizations to really help them leverage their efforts. Because as we all know, it takes a lot of time and effort for these volunteers to put these events together. And this sounds like it's an incredibly powerful tool that is going to do nothing but reduce their stress levels and I'm sure get profits up. So you've done a good thing here. Kudos to you.
Thank you very much. That's the goal.
All right, very good. Been a pleasure having you with us on today's podcast. And Renee, you had a final comment?
Oh, yeah, sure. So, Jeff, I know you mentioned having a special offer for our listeners or a way to have them follow up with you. What would that be?
Yes. So, again, thank you for having me on. I really appreciate you guys, by the way, run a great podcast. I think this is going to be a great resource for the community. If you want more information about us, again, our website is cause4auction4auction.com. We actually created a special promo code here. If you create an auction and you add the promo code events with benefits, you'll receive $25 off the signup fee. And if you have any questions, just email us at info@causeforauction.com and we'll get to you right away.
Very good. And we'll have your contact information in all of our show notes here. So once again, today's guest on Events with Benefits has been Jeff Chang. He and his partner, Howie, have a company called Cause4Auction, and we hope you'll check it out. They're doing great things out there in the fundraising auction space. Thanks, Jeff. Okay. Thanks, Jeff. I'm trying to get your name out right. Thanks, Jeff. We'll edit until we get it right. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Thanks for listening to the show this week. For show notes, special offers, or to listen to previous episodes, you can visit us at eventswithbenefits.com. Please also consider subscribing to our podcast on iTunes. And if you enjoyed the show, do us a favor and write us a review while you're there. If you have any questions or feedback, we'd love to hear from you. Send us an email at hosts@eventswithbenefits.com. We'll see you next time.